This is The Rich Eisen Show from The Rich Eisen Show Studio in Los Angeles.
General manager of the NFC champion Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead. What do you think is your Super Bowl 56 threat?
Throws it into the end zone for Chase. He leaps. Yeah. He's got it.
When you're playing for one of 32 and there's only two left, the opponent's going to be dang good.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, 19-year NBA veteran and all-star Charles Oakley. Plus, Pro Football Hall of Famer Calvin Johnson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're about to play What's More Likely here on the Rich Eisen Show. TJ's Big Ass Grab Bag coming up in hour number three of this program. So is Calvin Johnson.
Megatron
and TJ Jefferson.
I mean, I worked my whole life just to get to this point where you could say our names in the same sentence.
All I'm asking, TJ, is that when you and Calvin Johnson are in the same hour together, you don't just say, I'm out of here because I just don't have the tools to succeed around here. And then we're just like, where's TJ going? Like, home? No, he's not going. Like, for good?
I will never do that.
Detroit?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the Megatron of big ass grab bags, TJ Jefferson, in hour number three.
Transformer.
Rich, the poll results.
That's my man right there.
From yesterday's Scrabble poll just closed.
Okay, so.
I had posted it 24 hours ago.
Very good.
And now it's over.
Very good. Let me set that up then, if you don't mind.
How about it? I just got the notification.
See, here's things. Here's things about what's more likely. We're about to play what's more likely. Here's a couple of what's more likely. I'll just add them. I don't believe you're going to have them. What's more likely when Charles Oakley comes here?
Oh, good.
We figure out the Charles Dolan conundrum. I mean, the Jim Dolan conundrum, or we do not. I think what's more likely is that I'm hoping that when Charles Oakley's about to sit here in The Last Enforcer, his new book that he wrote with Frank Isola, who's covered the Knicks for many times.
Does that sound like a Denzel movie? The Last Enforcer.
It sounds like a Denzel. The Last Enforcer does, but it also does sound like a, if it's just three words, it's Steven Seagal.
Yeah, that's true.
All of Steven Seagal movies are
above
three,
the law,
three words.
Mark for Death, The Last Enforcer.
Under Siege 2.
Under Siege 2.
Under Siege did not apply to it. Under Siege
Hard
2.
Kill, yeah.
You're saying? Okay. Yeah. At any rate.
Anybody see
What's
Richie?
More likely? We're going to figure out the James Dolan conundrum or not, because we're definitely going to go down that Dolan wormhole very shortly. He's coming out in about 10 minutes time in studio. Do not miss that. Also, what's more likely? You sit down with your 8-year-old and play Scrabble, and she has a Z to play and spells the word D's.
D's.
Okay. Interestingly enough, with the Z all the way at the end, out there to build the word nuts off it for a double letter score on the end.
Wow. D's nuts.
Okay. And I said, do you allow it? Do you allow it? Is the question that was asked. And the poll question, you decided to put it out there to the Rich Eisen Show listenership, viewership, Twittership. Yeah. And it just closed. What are the results?
So if you were Rich, would you have allowed D's to be played by his daughter in Scrabble?
And just to let, before you give the results, I did not allow it.
I would not allow it either, but that's because I cheat at board games. definitely not 51.9%.
Wow. So I was in the majority.
You're in the majority.
Slight majority. It's just this issue is kind of like politics. It splits America.
It definitely split the studio.
It split the studio, right? You two were yes. Rich and I were no. Yeah.
Why would you allow D's?
Because I've been using D's since I was in seventh grade.
Yeah, but that's not a legal word for Scrabble.
Like I said, I mean, Scrabble is not the end-all, be-all of words.
It's the end-all, be-all of the game Scrabble.
The game comes with its own dictionary.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know,
like
it's like baseball.
For it.
Football, and I'll say this, football is not the end-all, be-all of sports.
It's
the end-all, be-all of football.
Right.
All right, well,
so there are rules for the game.
So as far as Scrabble goes, D's isn't a word, but outside of Scrabble,
You know what D's is, for instance? It's like allowing somebody to reset their own football with the clock winding down.
You know, Rich. I try with you. It looks normal.
It's totally harmless because what's the point?
Wow.
What's the point? Of course, like, what does it matter if it's 1 inch here, 2 inches there, three you know, what's the point? Like, you got to snap it, so just let him do it. It's, what's the harm?
Well, if that
it's not
the case,
part of the rules.
D's,
baby. D's. D's are not the rules.
Well, you keep talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to tell you something about D's. All right.
The Dallas Cowboys, breaking news. The Dallas Cowboys have acquired Bofa.
Bofa D's.
Wow.
It's a German philosopher. You'll know about that.
There's a new defensive end brother, and the Cowboys have acquired him.
Bofa D's what?
Bofa.
Bofa D's what?
Oh, my gosh.
There's TJ Derrick.
Thank you for that update, Chris.
No problem.
All right.
JJ and Bofa D's. Please, somebody reel me in. Reel me in before I say something.
We're off of Bofa D's rails right now.
I haven't told you about the deacon yet.
All right, stop. Okay, stop.
We're gonna knock that.
It's tough. It's a Bofa wormhole. It's tough. You get drawn. Bofa and D's are like your wormhole, TJ. It's like your Dolan.
I start to shake because there's stuff I want to say and I know I can't.
Let's keep it on the track because Charles Oakley's about to join us and I want to get some time here. Can we do what's more likely
let's
in like it. 7 minutes?
Sure, of course.
Here we go. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Great production value. Last time we did this, we played it with Stephen A. Smith. So okay, go for it. What do you got?
Okay, so none of these really have anything to do with the Super Bowl. It's just kind of a hodgepodge of topics here. What happens first, guys? A Major League Baseball game gets played or the Masters tees off?
Masters, what day is that? Oh, I'll take the Masters. I don't even need to know. I'll take the Masters. Baseball's not starting on time. Great question. Masters is what? A tradition?
Masters is, let's see, the first tee off is Thursday, would be like April 7th.
Yeah, absolutely. So that would be baseball has to miss the first 2 weeks of their season.
Yeah.
And there's a tradition unlike any other, baseball stepping on its own D's. So that's coming. You're already seeing. And by the way, fans of this program love you so much. I'm protecting you from the, well, they've met. Not much headway. Right. Even though both sides know the exact number that needs to be hit for a deal right now. Yeah. Both sides know the exact number that needs to be hit for a deal. And both sides think they can try and get some extra. And they know exactly what day needs to be hit to avoid me being wrong about this. What's more likely? I'm going with we're going to see the dogwood and azaleas, nice. As opposed to Alex Wood and whatever else. Yeah. I got nothing else. Okay.
And Randy Arozarena.
Yeah. Right.
All right. They play tonight in the NBA, 10 Eastern on the four-letter Sixers Mavericks. Who's most likely to get to an NBA Finals first, Joel Embiid or Luka Doncic? Get to the finals, not win. Just make the finals first.
Oh, boy. That's a great one. Should have asked this of Stephen A. the other day. I think he would say Luka, and I'll take Luka.
Really?
Yeah. Why would you make that noise?
Because I disagree.
Am I not mistaken? Didn't he come close a couple years ago?
No, he never made it to the finals.
They never even got out the first round. They didn't make. I think they made it to the second round.
I thought they made it to the second round.
The Clippers
in the bubble. They almost made it to the conference finals.
Yeah.
Right? Am I wrong? I don't know. I'm gonna take Luka. I don't know. I love Doc and I love Embiid. When are they gonna get rid of Ben Simmons?
They're gonna get Harden at some point, right?
Yeah, next year probably.
Yeah. If they get James Harden, will Philly look out?
How many times if so-and-so gets James Harden, well, look out, like, and James Harden hasn't cut down a net professionally?
His teammates keep getting hurt.
Okay.
Chris Paul.
I take Luka. You guys take Embiid. Let's move on.
Well, who'd you take in, Brockman? You didn't say.
No, I'm asking the question.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
All right, here we go. Some football stuff here.
That's a weak response.
What's more likely? Jacksonville hire a new coach, right? Doug Peterson?
Peterson.
Bears have a new head coach.
Eberflus.
Who gets to the NFL playoffs first? What's more likely? Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields?
Trevor Lawrence, next.
Whoa, that was fast.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think they have a better shot of winning a division than the Bears do. Let's see. Hold on. Is Aaron Rodgers in the NFC North?
Probably not.
Still owning the Bears?
Probably not.
You just because you wanted to be, because I gave you too quick of an answer?
Trevor Lawrence.
Right. Taking Trevor Lawrence. That's what I'm taking. Taking Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson, because I think that's a good combination for this young man. I need to see what Luke Getsy from the Packers organization does to coordinate on behalf of Eberflus for Fields. So I need to see how that works. I can kind of already see how it works for Peterson.
All right, Charles Oakley's coming out soon. We're going to go down the wormhole, I imagine. Hey, Rich, what's more likely? The team that you love wins a title first, Jets or Knicks?
Can I go off the board and say Michigan?
Well, they're coming next. Hold on a second.
All right. I'll go Jets.
Hey, all right. See?
You already hear Julius Randle wants out of New York, don't you? You're already hearing that.
But they're going to get Zion. Yeah, who cares what Julius Randle is?
Zion, really? Come is on, he coming?
Yeah, of course he's coming.
I would say probably, right?
I mean, if I'm going to bet money, which
he's
I don't.
He's not retiring a Pelican.
No.
No, I'm going to say the Jets. That's what I'm going to say. Before my lifetime?
Come on, Rich.
In my lifetime?
Rethink that, Rich.
In your lifetime.
I just know that.
Jets or Knicks.
That to use the Jerry Jones phrase, you know, someone someday. We'll enjoy a Jets victory. Yes.
Right. Rich, I'm telling you right now, the Knicks are going to win a title before the Jets win
the
Super Bowl.
They may not be born now.
You're taking Knicks more likely?
Because I feel like Zion is going to go there, and I feel like...
All right, let's see what Zach Wilson looks like next year, baby.
Good point.
Okay, let's see what that looks like next year.
All right, last one. You saw what Jim Harbaugh said with Mitch Albom yesterday, right?
I did not, actually. What did he say?
He talked to Mitch and said, you know, this was a one-time thing, more,
that's
right?
That's what I heard, right, yeah.
So what's more likely? This is the last time Jim flirts with the NFL, or he'll be back coaching in the NFL?
This is what's more likely. He's back, man.
In the NFL?
No. He's back, and he's staying put. That skinny M is going to be right on his head for as long as he wants to do it, and I'm there for it. This last month sucked. I'm not going to lie.
Do you think he never leaves?
This last month sucked. I would much rather have followed up the biggest year for him as coach at Michigan and Michigan's best year in a couple of decades with we're all in and we're just going to keep going and we're going to use the momentum as opposed to a family squabble. Would have much rather that happened, but he is back and that is better than looking for someone else. And now he is going to be back and I'm going to believe it. That's more likely. Go Blue. Here endeth the lesson. He's called Mitch Albom, huh?
Yeah, I saw that call this morning. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Good to hear. One and done. And he didn't. I can't believe that happened. But that's what's more likely in my estimation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. Look who's coming out next. Charles Oakley. In studio on the Rich Eisen Show, I would not move if I were you. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Bobby, how would that moment compare to watching Charles Oakley get dragged out of Madison Square Garden?
I was there.
You were there.
Oh, you were?
Can you please walk me through?
And Aziz.
Walk me through. So you were there with?
I was with Chris and Aziz.
Chris Rock?
Two funny guys. Yeah. And you know, it happened over under the basket there where Dolan normally sits.
Yeah. And where are you?
And we were in the middle there across from the bench. And it was surreal. I know that word's overused, but it was surreal to see Charles Oakley get carried out like that. It was weird.
Did you know something? Like, when did you first?
It took a while for us to figure out what was happening. And then I remember the Knicks were bringing the ball down, and then they stopped. I don't remember who had the ball, but he just stopped. And the whole team, the teams on the court.
Play stopped?
Stopped to look and see what was going on. I think everybody realized at the same time that it was Oak. And then it was just the audience, the crowd was every shot, like it escalated. It was like, oh, oh, oh. It was like being in a wrestling match. It was wild. And then they carried him out and the place went nuts. Couldn't believe it.
I cannot believe you watched Charles Oakley get dragged out of Madison Square Garden with your own two eyes, Bobby. Man. I mean, I could not.
Spike Lee was there. You couldn't believe it.
Did
either.
Everyone just like it during
Wait
the
Wait a minute, Spike Lee was there?
Boo, boo.
Nice.
That's that next thing you're going to tell me Jack Nicholson was at the Lakers game.
McEnroe was there. I know McEnroe, he was right there.
He was
in Oakley's lap.
Yeah, was Woody Allen there?
He was not.
I don't know why that's funny.
What about
Bob Costas? Told you.
Costas. Now.
Oh, yeah. You got to
tell this story?
Not feeling me.
You got to tell the Costas story.
Tell the story.
When I was like 21 years old, I went to the what was it? The Heisman Trophy.
Athletic Club?
Yeah, I managed to get invited. Like, I had an extra ticket or somebody gave me a ticket and I went to the thing. And I went to the bathroom and Bob Costas was in the next urinal. And I was like 21, so this was 1990, 91. And I said, and I was peeing and I went, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of yours. And he told, and he went, don't you know the rule? You're not supposed to talk when you're in a urinal. And I was like, oh, God, I didn't. So that's how I learned the rule. Anyway, so I'm at the Knicks game. I was at the Knicks game, and I never met him before since then. And I said to him, hey, Mr. Costas, Bobby Cannavale. I just wanted to introduce myself and say when I was 21, I told him the story. And he went, doesn't sound like something I'd say. Shot me down. Just complete shoot down.
Twice. Well, he was also sitting on the toilet when you told him the second time.
So what?
And shut the door, dude. I don't care that you have two Emmys. Chip. Shut the door, Chip.
Where all books are acquired, I'm holding the book right here that you should all get. The Last Enforcer, Outrageous Stories from the Life and Times of One of the NBA's Fiercest Competitors, and that's a fact, written with Frank Isola, the great Charles Oakley here in person on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
Good.
Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Congrats on the book.
Thank you.
I have been waiting and patiently to talk to you for quite some time, sir.
Wow, I'm ready.
This is a fact. For a couple of reasons. Number one, so I'm from Staten Island, New York.
Okay.
Born in Brooklyn, raised in Staten Island. Okay. You, sir, are one of my favorite New York Knicks of all time.
Thank you. I'm glad I can be here.
Fact.
Glad we can be in person.
The fact I can sit here and tell you, like the kid from the 80s and the 90s and whatever, that I can look you in the face and say thank you.
Thank you.
Means, honestly, I'm getting like emotional here. Because what you did with Patrick and the rest of the Knicks, mm-hmm. you with Riley and with that was incredible, and it was a long time coming for a bunch of Knicks fans.
Yeah, and I'm sorry we couldn't win the big one, but we competed every night and showed a lot of heart out there.
Yeah, I know. And so I guess at the time when you were going through it, what was that like? to be there with Patrick and Riley in the garden, and it was all lit up. What was that like for you?
I mean, you know, when I first got there, we, you know, wasn't great, but once we made the transaction, we, you know, got Pat Riley there with a whole different mindset. This guy won championships with L.A., with Kareem, Magic, you know. He had an identity, and he brought some of L.A. with him, and he mixed it with New York. It's toughness. And we got it down good as we could, and, you know, we showed a good product on the court every night.
You sure did. And it just the sense at the time, too. I mean, you came from Chicago.
Right.
And you did your work with Jordan right. and against the Bad Boys. And right. the Knicks needed, to be very honest, they yeah. needed somebody to put somebody on their ass.
Yeah,
you know, and that was your job pretty yeah. much, right?
Well, they called for the doctor. I showed up, so.
And another name I didn't.
I came there. Like I said, when you move to another house, make sure it's better than the last one. So when I got traded from Chicago to New York, I tried to make sure I played better in New York than I just did Chicago. That let them know that they gave me a good piece. But no, New York was a great experience for me. It was the big city, and name it twice, New York, New York.
That's right.
I had a lot of fun there.
Well, I mean, it was so much fun watching you. And then, you know, before we get deeper into that, you got the foreword of your book written by Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
What was it like for a rookie out of Virginia Union to show right. up there in Chicago? Jordan already did what he had done in right. his rookie season. What was that like to be there? Stan Allback being a coach? And
yeah. Kinda, well, basically my job was to come in and thanks to Jerry Krause for drafting me, you know, in the top 10, number one, and show him that he made a great choice. Come in understanding that he did a good job scouting me and knew my strength and weakness. I knew my strength and weakness. And so when I brought it to the court, I stayed within myself. I didn't try to come out and compete, score many points, Michael Jordan. The next guy, I knew that, hey, be humble. You play the game, stuff come to you when you understand the game.
Mm. Why didn't it work out in Chicago with Jordan?
With me?
When you were there, yeah.
I ain't say it didn't work out. They had a lot of forwards, and they drafted Horace and Scotty, and they didn't have a center. And they made the transition of trading me for Bill Cartwright. It worked out. I had a great 3 years. Probably my, you know, not saying my best, but I was up there with, you know, double-digit points, scoring, rebound.
I guess worked out is an unfortunate way of me to put it, and I apologize. I mean, the championship years, they occurred, you know, obviously. Like,
well, they won 3 years after I left. So my thing is, I thought when I got traded to New York, I'm going with Patrick Ewing from Georgetown, da-da-da, this and that. That wasn't the case. It was Patrick Ewing's body, but he left a lot of his soul at Georgetown.
What's your relationship with Jordan like right now?
Me?
Yeah.
On the forward, I guess, to show that, you know, he did the forward, something you probably would never guess. He didn't have a copy of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So that showed you a lot of respect for me. And, you know, knowing that, you know, being around him, the longer I've been around him, we've been tight. Close friend for let me, you know, so trust me. So if somebody trusts you, sometimes by him doing that, just show me he really, really trusts me and loves me. Because, you know, I think he really did the four for Scotty book, he might have been upset with himself.
I was going to ask you, did you reach out to Scotty on how to sell a book? Did you reach out to him at all?
Well, I guess they said when you aim high. So he went for the goat.
What'd you think? Of what he had
I mean,
to say
everybody
about
got
that.
Opinion, but
what's your opinion?
If you go by stats and go by your body work, his body work don't compare to the top 20 player who played basketball. So it's hard to say he's better than Michael Jordan to me, but that's his opinion.
Mm-hmm. What about everything else he was saying about what was the times in Chicago about anything that was going on there? Obviously, you weren't there when he was there with Chicago and he's talking about the book, but
ooh, Scotty,
yes, they're talking about. You know, racist and still being racist,
I mean,
and thing like that.
You don't know who racist these days because what's the meter? It's a hot or cold. It don't say racist. I don't know. Just I don't look at it, but if you see someone racist, you have to be really detailed, paying attention to every second of the day what they're doing. So I don't know. I was there 1 year with Phil. I mean, he was coming from the G League.
Yeah, he was the assistant, right?
Assistant, right. He came up. Jerry Krause handpicked him. He came up with Doug Collins, and he was just assistant coach. You know, Tex was there. Doug was there. And he was a quiet guy, you know. I did some little research on he played with the Knicks, and you know, he was an upcoming coach. Jerry, you know, Jerry hit a lot of home runs in that little era he had with the Bulls. He made a lot of things happen in a good way. They won six rings, but they don't want to talk Jerry up. Jerry not here to, you know, ready to bounce some of the stuff back to him. People saying about Jerry, I thought Jerry was a nice guy. He drafted me, so I have nothing. He traded me, he drafted me, so I guess I still have nothing bad to say about him. But he get a lot of bad rap from people. You know, they say he won a lot of credit. I mean, my thing is Jerry put the team together. Jerry Rastall paid the team mates. Mm-hmm. So when Scottie contract, Michael Jordan contract came up, it went up to Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner. And you know, he was a little tight, you know. He got one pocket and one pair of pants, so you know he's kind of tight.
Charles Oakley here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Last Enforcer, check it out where all books are sold. Okay, I used to be a Knick fan.
Okay.
I stopped being a Knick fan that night where you were taken out of Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
I can't root for that team anymore.
Yeah.
And I was so angry.
Yeah.
So angry to see you taken out by Madison Square Garden security. What the hell happened that night?
It was a hit. That's all I can say. I was there for maybe 7 minutes. I got there with me and three other guys. We walked down the steps, and I went to the Thurman Munson Foundation dinner the night before.
Okay.
So I did that three or four times, you know. And the guy said, "You going to the game?" I said, "No." He said, "We got extra tickets." I said, "I go with y'all." So I met him across the street from the guard. We come in down the steps. I sit down. Girl come ask me what you want to drink. I said, "I want a Pepsi and some popcorns." By the time she bring them back, in 2 minutes, I was there about 8 minutes. And then next thing I know, it's eight guys surrounding me. Like, "You got to leave." I'm like, "For what?" "I have a ticket. You got to leave." And I said, "No, I'm not leaving." Then they started grabbing on me. I said, "Don't grab on me." I said, "If you watch it, you can hear it all loud and clear." And they saying one thing happened. I slipped down and fell. And a few more guys came, and they took me to the back, da-da-da. And next thing I know, I'm down there. They put the handcuffs on me.
Handcuffed you?
Handcuffs.
So then, okay, before we get to that. So at any point in time, you know, when they came to grab you and took you, did Dolan ever, James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, did he ever look in your direction? Did
he was looking back.
He saw what was going on.
It was a hit. Because
why?
We watched the tape. I don't know. Because I don't dance to his music. He like, I like Rick James. He like Flying Salmon Stone. I like Luther. He like Patti LaBelle. But my thing was.
Well, he likes JD in the Straight Shot, actually. Yeah. That's,
man, they throw cans at them. But no. So we watched the tape, and you can see, like, it was a timeout or something. The security guard go over there and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So after the timeout, he go back to his stand, to his station.
Mm-hmm.
Then something else happened, a dead ball foul. He walk over there and talk to him again.
Security guard talked
security
to him
guard.
Again.
Uh-huh. So he go back to stand behind the bench. Then you can see him in the tape we got, he giving the guy a signal. He's like, "Go, go, go." I mean, he's like,
"Go get bro, him.
Yeah,
go speak to him or go, what have you." Like, why does he want you out of there? Like, what?
I don't know. He don't like me because he said I said something in the paper. But he's trying to tell in the court that I hollered at him. I'm like, "John McEnroe sitting right here. If you go, how am I hollering at you in 20,000 people? I ain't like I came to the game early, walked past and said, 'Hey, big head.' No, I come in, went straight to my seat. And he just got it out for me. So after that happened, so basically they take me downstairs, put the cuffs on, I go to the precinct, this and that happened. Here come Phil Jackson. "Oh, what happened? What happened? Ask your boss." Then World West come, like, "I got MJ on the phone." I said, I'm handcuffs. I mean, put him on speaker. So
hold on a second. So, all right. Phil Jackson went to the police precinct?
No, he came from a seat
to the back of the arena where you are now being held in handcuffs in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What's and so what happened next?"
He like, "What's going on?" I said, "Ask your boss." And then Worldwide West comes, like, "I got Michael Jordan on the phone." I said, I'm handcuffed. I said, put them on speaker. You know, it was just funny the way I said it. But so then they, you know, I said, get these damn handcuffs off me. I just started cussing. And then they say, you know, they put me in, taking me across the street. So I get there. They take the handcuffs off me. And they're like, what happened? I said, it's just a crazy incident. They said, you want something to eat? They ordered me a pizza. So I went back to the cell. I went in the cell.
You were in a cell that night?
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that, but I can't. How did Jordan get on the phone?
World West had called him and Fields, I guess.
So what did Jordan say?
I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I tell him, I said something funny. I said, tell him to come and get me. I'm like, well, I'm going to talk. I ain't gonna talk, come and get me. So about 12:30, 1 o'clock, they let me out. Two guys from Long Island I know. He's a cop. Another guy, like a guy from the hedge fund group. He came and got me out. And I did an interview that night. It was just crazy. I mean, my thing is, I had never met him before. His dad, I met his dad. They from Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland.
Dolan. Yes. The family.
They grew up right? Like 5 minutes from me in Cleveland. So.
Well, in your book, there's an account about you and Dolan during an NBA All-Star weekend in New Orleans prior. Is that where that's from? This
no,
might be
I ain't from?
From
because so we in New Orleans. I think it's 2014, we in New Orleans. I'm with LeBron, Maverick, the whole crew, because they from Cleveland. And we were just in that room, just messing around. So here come World by West. He walked from out the back. You know, something happened with the click. Like, Rich Paul and West, Rich Paul's from Cleveland. So yes. Something happened. So he don't speak to West at all. So LeBron, being a pro, he'd speak to him, Maverick, whatever. So he said, oh, I'm back there with, I said, I'm in the back with the guy from Nick. I said, who? He said, I'm with the owner. Come and meet him. I said, okay. So me and my friend Jacob, we walk in the back.
This is James Dolan, yeah, the owner. You had never met him before?
Never met him.
This is just before in New Orleans, huh?
I never met him. Because when I was there, the dad was in charge.
Right, okay.
So I'm walking back with Wes. He said, Mr. Dolan, this is Mr. Oakley. He said, I met him. This is like me sitting, he don't turn around or nothing. I met him. And then it's that. So I'm like, Wes, what's going on? He said, he mentioned, his man ain't met me. So my mind was, should I hit him in the head? Swear to God. Should I hit him in the head? I mean, I'm like, man, you brought me back here. He said, he didn't meet me, man. I mean, I'm going to lie about if I met him. Like, won't he just be a gentleman anyway? He just sat up and said, how you doing, Mr. Oakley? And so my guy with me, like, man, he's kind of rude, ain't he? I said, yeah. He don't like me. So it's just, I don't know, small man complex. You know, I don't know what his problem is, but he do the same thing over and over with people. As you check his record out, he got a lot of incidents on it, but he don't deal with people good.
Well, Charles Oakley, I saw this and I'm like, I can't root for this team anymore. I just can't.
I can see if I would have did so. I mean, well, I wouldn't even. Only I was sitting behind him. I can see if I walk in front of him. So you big head or either just you know what I'm saying. I wouldn't like four rows. Then he tells him I was sitting too close to him. Somebody said you knew what you were. No, I didn't. I didn't know where the guys had the tickets at. I mean. I've been to many games and bought tickets and sit three or four rows, but I don't know. He just had it out for me.
It shouldn't matter. You're Charles Oakley. You're Charles Oakley. Mm-hmm. You were part of one of the greatest times in the history of the New York Knicks.
Yeah, but...
And, you know, and the owner of the New York Knicks should welcome you. Is it because you were critical of him and the team vocally?
The team ain't did nothing. I mean, he's a control freak. He's a real big control freak, so... Basically, like, guys who work for him, they can't do interviews with people besides they have to know what the question is. It's just a control thing. He's real controlling.
You have no idea, Charles. I mean, you guys could tell him, right? Like, there's something here called the Dolan wormhole, okay? It's like the gravitational force in the universe. Mm-hmm. Anytime this man's name comes up, I can't. I get pulled right in. I get so livid and
he
so
starts
angry.
To shake.
Yeah. My thing is like, I can see you like, I would have manned up. I would have told everybody, like, everybody came to my rescue. If I was wrong, I would have stood up in Times Square, somewhere in Central Park, and just had a press conference. Like, I was wrong. I said something to this guy. I ain't said nothing to him. That's what makes it so bad. You know, he just had it out for me.
So what's the future? Is there anyone?
What happened after that. About a week later, so Michael Jordan, commissioner, myself, so we got together. oh, I'm going to retire your jersey. Come, we played Indiana about 2 weeks. You can come sit beside. I'm like, no, no, this is what I'm going to have. So they had a bowling event this night.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you can walk into bowling with me and make everybody see us together. I'm like, you see what just happened? My family's seen this, and you handcuffs, and you treat me like a runaway, whatever, back in the old days, and you want me to come sit beside you? Then he went from that to, like, in 2 weeks, we play the Pacers. You can come. We have everything, red carpet. I'm like, you just feeling you guilty right there. Why you want to do all this for me now if you ain't, if you know, if you're not wrong?
So there is no future there.
Huh?
There's no future there. There's no
I don't know. I'm waiting to see. Yeah, but, you know.
What did Ewing have to say about all this?
Well, this that happened 2017. He just said something about 5 months ago. Nothing. I played with him 10 years. I had his back. They offered him a D-League job about 7 years ago. I spoke, how you going to offer a guy who played for you 15 years a D-League job? But, you know, that hurt me when he didn't speak up for me. I mean, if I know somebody, especially in sports, you can play 10 years with somebody, you should be able to know them and know what they stand for. And he didn't do that. He didn't put his big boy pants on.
Charles Oakley here on the Rich Eisen Show. Some other aspects of this book to hit here. You knew that LeBron was going to Cleveland, was going to leave Cleveland and go to Miami before his thing?
Yep. A year before.
How'd you know that?
That season before he went, going to that season, they played Orlando and then went to Miami. It was like a back-to-back game.
Uh-huh.
So I was from Cleveland. So I, told him I was going to be in Miami. He said, well, come hang out. Orlando. He said, come hang out. We going to dinner, that night. We went to the steakhouse and we were just talking, having fun, this and that. He said, man, I'm going to Miami next year. I said, really? He said, yep. So the next day, we go to the game, Orlando. I was driving, so they flew to Miami after the game. So I drove the next day, and I told Pat Riley I was coming to the game. He left me 2 tickets. I said, I need to talk to you about something. He said, all right, you know, we'll go to my office at halftime and talk, you know. So he went in there, you know. I said, I don't know if you know or not. Somebody think about coming here. He said, really? He said, who? I said, well, you might be playing against him tonight. Matter of fact, you are. He said, well, no, okay. You know, Pat Riley. So one thing led to another. The next year, that next summer, in Miami.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's the only way I can respond to that. So, all right, so you gave Riley a little heads up that this, you know, because.
Yeah, I told him. I told LeBron.
Okay. And how much longer do you think LeBron's going to play?
I don't know.
What's your prediction?
I don't know
if
it'll be for the Lakers or somebody else. If they don't get this situation straightened out with basketball, you know, out here now, it's just the Clippers bad, they bad. You can't be bad with LeBron on your team. That's what Cleveland had LeBron, they were never bad. You know, he just, every time he went to Miami, came back to Cleveland, he made a difference. They was only winning 25, 26 games. He took them from 25 to 50, 55. It's just, I don't know why the knee lane is moving here. Something's holding him back because like he said he needs shooters on the outside, but it's more than shooting. Energy, no rotation. I mean, they got too many guys just looking at the rim.
Well, Anthony Davis has got to get healthy, right?
Yeah, but Anthony Davis, he ain't been Anthony Davis since the bubble. I mean, they won the championship with him. He's one of them guys that he looks so pretty playing, but he stay hurt. A Bentley with no gas and you can't run it.
Mm. So you think he's thinking again of departing? Yeah. I mean, what's your two cents on that?
He ain't going to settle for this losing. And who do they have to trade besides Anthony Davis? I mean, can't trade Westbrook and get nothing. Unless you can trade Westbrook to get defense maybe. And you know, just limit the guys who on your offense. Because, I mean, everybody, you see that they need the ball. And that's, I mean, you got almost 4 Hall of Famers on that team, mm-hmm. and they lose barely beating bad teams. You still had 3 Hall of Fames started. Dwight Howard, Westbrook, and LeBron. And Carmelo come off the bench, that's 4.
So, but he's going to play till, I guess, his son comes in here, right? I mean,
well,
isn't that the goal?
Well, he probably will. I mean, if he can't move the needle past 500, another year of this, I don't see that. I mean, he might try to hold on, but he don't want to just be out there playing just as I play 75 games and go home. His goal is to win a championship.
Before I let you go, who's the guy today that mirrors your game the most, would you say, Charles Oakley? Who would be
good
that guy?
Person. But
thank you.
I don't – that role is not in NBA right now no more. I don't see that. I don't – Draymond was a point forward, set picks, make stuff, and Clay look great every night and doing the hustle stuff. Maybe, Draymond maybe just a better ball handler, but overall just with the force or shutting down the paint, I mean, Draymond do check centers at 6'7". Centers be 6'10", and get away with it. He do a lot of fouling. They don't – Golden State is like what Boston used to be. They let you get away with other stuff some teams don't get away with. When you start winning, you get that with winning. And sometimes, like these teams who used to win and think they get – you ain't getting called. Westbrook, you're not getting called. Just take your time. We're going to make your layup. See, that's how it is now.
Who would you relish if you were back in the NBA right now, Charles? Who would you relish putting on his ass the most if you were back in the league right now? Who would you relish? Would say like I would suit up just one more time just to put him on his ass.
It's like a freeway now. Everybody going down the paint.
I know that. But if you were standing there, like you would say, I'd like to put that guy on his ass right now.
So based on this, in a question like that, it's somebody who cry a lot. So guys, I see cry a lot who got the ball in their hands a lot. James Harden flop a lot. And he's a big body, but I want he goes to the hole like it ain't nothing. But see now he from the West Coast to the East, he's not getting them bailouts no more in the East like he got in the West. So he's not playing that well. It's a different. I tell everybody in the past, it's a different playing in the East than playing West. Most guys can play in the West, can't play in the East. Mm-hmm. And so. But really, it's just, like I said, it's like a freeway. You like get your easy pass, go on through.
The easy pass. I love that. All right, Charles, this is great. I literally could talk to you for like 2 hours. Congrats on the book.
Thank you.
And let's do this more often. I really would love it. One other guy whose name I didn't bring up is Anthony Mason.
May
he rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
I mean,
that's my guy.
Right?
That's my guy. We did a lot together in New York. We was the Blues Brothers. The real Blues. It's some other Blues Brothers. They fake them, but we were the real Blues Brothers. We did a lot together. I mean, that was his city. I came in. He embraced me when he came to the team. He just.
Totally self-made. Like, nobody saw him coming. I mean, what he became and how terrific he out,
yep.
I mean, what he became in New York City. Just the big, wide body. The two of you guys just putting everybody down.
We just need a little more shooting.
Well, I mean, and I loved Starks too.
Yeah, just a little more.
What happened that night in Houston?
A little more shooting, but
I know.
What can you say?
I know, man. And it would have been great to have you lift a championship. Yeah. So, all right, last one. So I'm not coming back as a fan until you come back.
Okay.
All right, we're sticking together. Okay, I know we just talked about Blues Brothers, but I'm not.
Okay.
All right.
All right,
you come back, I come back.
I'll let you know for sure.
All right, because
you get the news before anyone. I promise.
Because you can tell him. I'm serious about this.
Charles,
you have no idea. You will get the news.
You have no idea.
A lot of people are like, "Oh, go back. You got the book." No, I can't give him that much credit. They ask you, "Are you talking about him in the book?" I said about a half a page. I can't give him no full page. He ain't worth a full page.
I'm serious,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Charles, this man loses. He just, James Dolan sends him to a fit of rage.
I grew up in Madison Square Garden.
Right,
the noise of the garden gets me going. When the pandemic and the fans came back in and I heard what the garden sounded like, I'm like, that's the noise. That's the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what I love. And so I see Julius Randle, who I respect. Oh, it's weird seeing him in Bernard King's number, just like seeing him do his thing and RJ Barrett, and I do like the coach. And I get into it, and I think of you, and I'm like, I can't do it.
Why he won't retire Bernard King number? He's in the Hall of Fame. What are you waiting on?
I don't know, because that's the that's my guy.
He's okay. A Hall of Fame.
Bernard King is one of the greatest players ever.
Yes.
And what he, and it was a damn shame, although it was his knee injury that got the Knicks high enough that they could get the that they had, right. You know, the shot at Patrick.
Right.
But the fact that Bernard and Patrick played with each other just as passing ships is one of my.
Yeah, but yeah, he should be tied Bernard number. But one time, I guess when Melo was there, something happened and Bernard posted something. He made Bernard take it down off his Twitter account.
What the hell? All right, I'm not coming back till you come back.
Okay.
All right. Two of us.
All right.
The two of us together.
Okay,
all right, there we go. Charles Ulk is going to let me know. The Last Enforcer with Frank Isola, all books can be acquired. Charles Oakley right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, we're back. What did we learn, gents? What did we learn?
He does not like Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, that's correct.
That was a little shocking. And you know, I've gone on, I've read the book a little bit, and I'm only about five chapters deep, but
right.
There's something he says around chapter four where he was like, the reason the Knicks didn't win is because they never had a number one option. He goes, Patrick was a number two. I was like, wow, okay.
Well, this is always the problem with Patrick Ewing's game, is that how many seven-footers who has an enforcer's mentality from his Georgetown days, built in, right?
Yeah.
Had their number one option a fadeaway jumper. He would always be fading away, and he was just great. Baseline jumpers. He was, his shooting for a big man
was amazing.
Amazing. But he was always fading away, which is where Charles came in. Charles was the guy who would put people on their ass because, you know, or rebound and keep the possession alive more than Patrick ever did.
But that was Patrick's game.
I know.
Like Kareem, Kareem wasn't a guy who went down low and banged around too much. He had the greatest, you know, weapon in all of basketball.
I know, right.
He was 12 to 17 feet away from the, but it went in every time, though, too. So.
And then the time, you know, Ewing could have slammed it home. Instead, he finger rolled it off the back iron against the Pacers.
And hit the back of the ring.
Dude.
Imagine that's a what if, right? What if that shot goes in?
Right. And then
what if Charles Smith dunks the ball in that game?
What if John Starks made a couple more three-pointers as opposed to missing 16 of them?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really put that all on Patrick when Starks just did not have the best John Starks game.
No.
Best John Starks series.
But that's, you know, Riley, I mean, Starks and Mason, those were guys that you thought couldn't win a championship when they started playing together. And then they did get to the finals because Jordan was playing baseball, you know?
It's just unfortunate. We talk about...
But he does not like Patrick. He's very upset that he didn't say anything, and he calls him number two option. I mean, come on. Yeah. Please.
But, yeah. Rich, it's also like we say about, you know, football players with Roethlisberger and people like that. They right. they just happen to exist in the era of Brady and Belichick. You happen to exist in the era of Michael Jordan, and then when he leaves, oh, here's Hakeem Olajuwon, who for 2 years was the best player in the world. So, man, it was just the timing was off.
What a well, we're radio audience, terrestrial radio audience is about to come back. We're about to find out one other thing that you guys did not know. I just learned it myself about this book that Oakley wrote and left behind. Wait till you see this. Okay. This is wild. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, our friends at Callaway want to let you know about the family of Chrome Soft. Family.
Family.
Family. Yeah,
please say it properly.
Family of Chrome Soft golf balls. The Chrome Soft golf ball family is the best tour for performance for every type of performance. I use the Chrome Soft, the regular Chrome Soft. And even though my game isn't very good and it hopefully improves, certainly when the football season's over, I use the regular Chrome Soft. It is designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel, more distance, and incredible forgiveness. I can even tell the difference. Better tour players looking for more workability, there's the Chrome Soft X. Excellent spin consistency, tour level short game control. Finally, there's the Chrome Soft XLS to give you a lower spin golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, but still with that high spin around the greens that you need. Now every Chrome Soft is enhanced with precision technology, design techniques, and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. This ensures they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls available. When you all add it all up, it's so simple that Chrome Soft is not only better for the best, it's better for everyone. So find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Charles Oakley just left.
How do you feel? I feel
still unsatisfied with the response. I still want to know why Dolan had it in for him. Yeah. He says he has no idea. There has to be something that Charles said that I'm completely unfamiliar with that set him off to the point where he's public enemy number one coming into this arena. And obviously it doesn't take much to set this man off.
Apparently not.
But I do feel satisfied that he has left, saying that he will, I will know first if he ever decides to come back, because I'm not coming back till he comes back. We're together in this. We're lockstep now. Also, one aspect that I did not know until he left, I just got him to sign this book. Mm-hmm. Everybody who brings in a book and they're here in person, they sign it. So I opened it up and something fell out, and I've now picked it up from the floor, and it's here in the book. Here is his Too Rich, signed it. Also, right here is a receipt from Sizzler, where he apparently went either before or last night. Can you hit the Price is Right music? Price is Right music, please. Price is Right music, please. I'd like to hear it. All right, guys, closest without going over his dine-in total. Dine-in total. It's just one meal. It's just, I think he was eating
it's
by
just
himself.
Him.
Just him at a Sizzler. It's Charles Oakley and a Sizzler.
Man, I got to say.
Go for it.
It's been a while since I've been a Sizzler. I just wanted
to let you know he added cheese and bacon to his potato.
Okay, did he get a steak? Say it on there.
He got, I can't tell you much more.
I'm going to say 14.
He upgraded to an 8-ounce tri-tip.
$14.99 is your
guest, Chris Brockman. Jay Felly.
$26.50.
Of course, it's without going over. TJ Jefferson, the man who's actually been on The Price is Right. The total of the Sizzler bill receipt that was inside of Charles Oakley's book.
I'm going to say, Brockman, you said what?
I said $14.99.
And you said $26, Jay?
$26.50.
I'm going to go with $19.95, Rich.
$19.95. All right. The actual retail price of Charles Oakley's meal at Sizzler, which assuming it was him just all by himself.
That's amazing.
The receipt was in the book that he signed for me, Too Rich, Charles Oakley, and out came the Sizzler receipt. The actual retail price of the dine-in total is $25.54. TJ Jefferson.
That's what I do.
Well, it's not. I mean,
he took the middle price.
One time. Did it one time.
There you go.
Congrats.
A steak and, sorry, Charles, I'm telling your order here. Steak and jumbo fried shrimp.
Ooh, that sounds
is $14.99.
Oh, I was on it.
You would have won. You would have won both meals.
Oh, man.
Except he upgraded to the 8-ounce tri-tip, with which is an extra $3.
Oh.
Adding cheese was just 75 cents, but adding bacon $1.59 and a Pepsi at $2.99. Add it all together with tax $25.54.
Man, I was right there.
It fell out when he signed it, and if I had only seen what it was, I would have asked him to sign that receipt too.
We get content out of everything here.
Yes, we do. We leave nothing on the floor.
No stone.
No stone. No tri-tip added unturned.
We go in sizzla. We go in sizzla.
Calvin Johnson coming up. Still here.
Speaking of the Knicks, Rich, you know what today is?
No. What is today?
Friday. Well, today, Rich, on this day in 2012, Linsanity was born.
That was, you know, everyone.
Linsanity was born.
Anybody who makes fun of Knicks fans after they win their opener of the 2021-2022 season and act like they've just won the championship, just know that that's not the indication of just how hungry of a fan base there is. When Jeremy Lin went on that run.
Yo, 11 games, 9-2.
Yep.
Started with a win against New Jersey at home.
The Kevin Moss of basketball.
Hey, now. Linsanity's an NBA champion. Put some respect on it.
I'm talking about hoping and reading into somebody who got so hot.
So hot.
I know he won a championship, but I mean, is he the reason why they won a championship?
Well,
because
no,
Knicks fans were saying, this is the guy who's going to take us to a championship. That's what we're talking about. I mean, and it was so exciting. It was just
it was amazing. 25-5-7 in that first game, and then 28-8, 23-10. Then he had the 38 game against the Lakers. He had a 10-13, 27-11. And then LeBron and Dwayne Wade were like, nope, this is ending right now. Lasted 11 games.
And then it was just, you know,
he was on the cover of Time, Newsweek, back-to-back weeks of Sports Illustrated, which never happens.
Dude.
It was awesome.
It was like, wow. You know, I guess, did you ever, you probably haven't read the Lorax.
Oh, it's been a while.
Well, I mean, to plant the seed and, you know, and suddenly amongst where there are no trees anymore because they've all been chopped down by the evil onceler that something beautiful can still grow. You know, that's the way it was. I was viewing it at the time. I was already sensing that this guy had no idea how to own a team.
Yeah.
As Charles Oakley said, his dad was the one who was there when he was there.
Yeah.
Dave Checkitz was running the garden. Riley was owning it. You know, that's all part of the wormhole. But now I've gotten to meet Charles Oakley and told him to his face what he means to me and how I will not return unless he returns. And I know exactly how the man eats when he's on the road selling a book. Soup to nuts. By the way, which he did not get at the
right.
Sizzler.
That would have been a little about.
Soup or nuts.